Don't take these tongs, and so if you'd like to have a copy, see the fellow back here in the little booth after service, and he'll be very happy to fix you up. All right, without a further delay, we invite your attention this morning to the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. I was driving along the highway to Lubbock the other day, last Thursday, I guess it was, and I was just reciting portions of God's Word in the book of Revelation, recited that first chapter. Then I did a flip-flop over in the last chapter, and when I began to recite this last chapter of the book of Revelation, there was a little clause that just leaped out at me. It began to snap and crackle and pop, and I began to meditate on that statement. I'd never heard it preached from in all the days of my life, and I've never used it, but I'm sure there are thousands of preachers that have used it in a message. Just because I haven't heard it is no sign it hasn't been used. But I was telling Brother Rogers when I got to Lubbock, you know, the Lord laid a thought on my heart on the way up here today, and I began to tell him about it and a few verses that I felt like would fit in with it. And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I've never heard it preached from either. But he said, if you don't preach it in a hurry, he said, I'm going to. Because he said, that kind of snapped in my heart. So anyway, you'll read it here in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb, or of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, bearing, or which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And that is the little clause that began to snap in my mind. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I begin to meditate. I begin to think along that line. Now, God, if there's enough virtue, if there's enough life, if there's enough healing in the leaves of that tree to cause all of the nations of the earth to be healed and to walk in divine health, then, God, there must be some significance in that statement. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It didn't say these 12 manner of fruits were for the healing of the nations. It didn't say that this tree itself, but it only said the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Neighbor, I am persuaded that if there's enough life, if there's enough healing in the leaves of those of that tree to produce divine life and divine healing for the nations of the earth, then I think there should be some emphasis placed upon it. Now, I want to use as a basis of our few remarks this morning, and as our time will permit us, talk to you from the thought or from the subject of the leaves of the tree. I just want to talk about leaves this morning. Now, I hope these leaves will be a blessing to your heart, because I believe that there are some significant leaves in God's Word. I believe that each of these leaves that I'm going to mention this morning convey to us a wonderful message from God's Word, and there is a significance to it. I'd heard a lot about the tree of life, read a lot about the tree of life in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9. He tells us how the Lord God caused this tree to grow there in the midst of the garden. And then again we read in Revelation chapter 2 how in verse number 7, he that overcometh will I grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. I'd read about this perennial tree that bear 12 manner of fruits, and I think that that's a great variety. Neighbor, God is a God of variety. God has a well-balanced diet for every one of us. It bear 12 manner of fruit, and it yielded her fruit every month. But the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. Then I begin to think about Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 9, and it reads on this wise, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to the eyes. And then he mentions that tree of life, and also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm persuaded, neighbor, that that tree of life, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, was a beautiful tree to look upon. But, neighbor, that was a tree of death. For the Bible declares that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6, that when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Then she took of that fruit and she ate of it and gave it to her husband and he did eat. I pause to suggest this to you this morning, neighbor. The Bible declares that that tree of the knowledge of good and evil was pleasant to the eyes. Perhaps it was a more beautiful tree than even that tree of life, which was standing there in the garden. But neighbor, I want you to know that that was a tree of death. And the Bible declares that because it was pleasant to the eyes, our forebears in the long ago decided that they would eat of that forbidden fruit. But I want you to know, neighbor, beauty is not enough. It's going to take more than beauty. We need more than duty as we travel along the journey. I like what the book says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. I want you to know, even though there may be no beauty, he is altogether lovely. Hallelujah. We can eat of that tree, neighbor. Hallelujah. And have life forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm grateful to God. I'd like to talk to you, first of all, in Genesis chapter 3. Skip down to verse number 7. And here is a leaf that speaks of a curse. The Bible said in verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 7 of the book of Genesis, and the eyes of them both were open, and they saw that they were naked. And what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. They didn't take up a fig tree. They didn't pull off fig branches, but the Bible said they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. Neighbor, I want you to know this is man's miserable substitute to try to cover up for his shame, to try to cover up his sin and his wrongdoing. What did they do? They went out and began to gather up fig leaves, and they sewed those fig leaves together. And after a while, they had them an apron. But I'd like to pause to suggest to you that Jesus cursed only one time. He only put a curse on one thing when he walked here on planet Earth. You can read about it in the book of Matthew chapter number 21, I believe it is, and verse number 19. He and his disciples were coming back from Bethany, and they walked by the wayside, and he saw there a tree, a fig tree, and the Bible said it had leaves only. There was no fig, there was no fruit. And Jesus just cursed that tree and said there will be no fruit from henceforward and forever. And the Bible said it began to wither and it died there on the spot. Neighbor, I want you to know the only thing Jesus ever cursed while he was here on planet Earth was that fig tree. And I believe that revolves back to that fig tree in Genesis chapter 3, where they took those fig leaves and tried to make a covering and a substitute for their wrongdoing. It's no wonder Jesus cursed that fig tree, because it represented man's miserable substitute for the covering that only God can provide. Almost all things were by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. I'm persuaded, neighbor, that those fig leaves on that tree in Matthew 21, verse 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward and forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. I am persuaded, neighbor, that this is a sign or a symbol of just mere profession. God wants us to have more than just leaves of profession. He wants us to have underneath those leaves of profession, he's looking for some fruits under righteousness. Hallelujah. And the Bible said the tree will be judged by its leaves. No, that's not what he said. He said it'll be judged by its fruit. For by their fruit, not by their leaves, but by their fruit, you shall know it. I wish I had more time here. This clock is running faster than I am. And I'm going too fast. Hallelujah. There's another leaf. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 8. After that Noah had built that ark, after everything was so arranged just like God told him to do it, there went in male and female of all of the animals and the birds and everything. Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives entered into the ark. In chapter number 7, the Bible said, the Lord shut them in. And that's a message all in itself, so I'm not going to touch that. The Lord shut them in that ark. And neighbor, the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Heavens clouded over. And that flood began to come. That storm of the wrath of God began to precipitate on a world that had lost its way and polluted itself here on planet Earth. You can read about that in chapter number 6. But after the waters had covered the earth for about 150 days, there Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives and all of the living creatures were out there sailing across those slapping waves, and the judgments of God had already fallen on that antediluvian age. And the Bible tells us that the ark rested upon the top of Mount Ararat, and old Noah opened up a window and he sent a raven out. That old raven just began to fly back and forth. He flew back and forth, and then later Noah sent a dove out. And in a little while, that dove could find no rest for the sole of its feet. And so it came back to the window of that ark. And the Bible said that Noah reached out his hand and pulled that dove back on the inside. But after a few days, neighbor, after those waves had begun to subside, after the flood had abated a little longer, he let that same dove or a dove out of the window of that ark. And the Bible said in a little while, here comes that dove. You know what it's got in its mouth? Hallelujah! It didn't have a dead fish. It didn't have a piece of driftwood. It didn't have a tumbleweed. It had a olive leaf in its mouth. Hallelujah! An olive leaf. That's hallelujah. It had an olive leaf in its mouth. You say, Brother Farmer, what's the significance about that? Well, when that dove came in the window of that ark with an olive leaf in his mouth, then Noah knew that the flood had abated. The storm was over. Hallelujah. And neighbor, I want you to know that happened over and over and over and over again. When you walked an aisle one time, a sinner, your heart is as black as 10,000 midnights. Oh, hallelujah. And the floods of the judgment of God was beating against your life. But I want you to know you knelt at an old-fashioned altar and prayed the sinner's prayer. And a warm crimson stream of Calvary began to spill down on your sin-laden soul. Hallelujah! You emerged a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, that heavenly dove, descended with an olive leaf in his mouth, which represents peace
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And when the dove of the Spirit settled down on your soul with that olive leaf that told you that the storm's over, hallelujah, the flood's past, glory to God, hallelujah. Neighbor, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is here today to descend with that olive leaf to your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel good up here. Hallelujah. I'm not even ask you to forgive me for shouting at you. You don't have to. You don't. Hallelujah. Do you remember when that dove of peace, when the Holy Spirit came? Oh, hallelujah. Spiritually speaking, I believe he had an olive leaf. He's now. Something told your spirit. Something told your heart. Hallelujah. That flood's in the past now. New life. That's what that olive leaf represented. New life. Hallelujah. That dove could have gotten anything. He could have brought back a stick. He could have brought back a piece of driftwood or anything, but he brought back something that had life in it. A leaf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the first division of the Psalm, the Bible said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. What else did he say? He said his root, hallelujah, shall not wither. Neither if your leaves are withered today. It don't take a genius. It don't take a master in theology to tell you what's happening. You've got a little bit too far from the river. Hallelujah. He said he'll be like a tree planted by the river. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither. But his leaves shall not wither. You see a bunch of old leaves. You know what's happening. They've gotten just a little bit too far from that source of life. Brother, as long as you're close to that river, you're drawing that sustenance. Hallelujah. In the 46th Psalm, verse 4, the Bible said, there is a river, and the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the tabernacle. Ah, the Most High. Thank God, neighbor, for that leaf that will not wither. If we have withered leaves on the tree of our experience, as I said a moment ago, it's because we've gotten just a little bit too far from the river. There are leaves of judgment in God's Word. I don't have time to enlarge on this, but you can read it. In the book of Daniel chapter 4, it mentions it in verse 12. It mentions it in verse number 14. But there are many metaphors in God's Word, especially in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and he saw a giant image of a multiple metal image that he saw, a head of gold, arms of silver, and on, you know it very well. I don't want to go into detail on that. In chapter number 7, he sees the same thing, but it's in the form of beasts. He saw a lion, he saw a leopard, and all of these, a bear, and these all represented the same thing that the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron represented in chapter 2. But he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. You know what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? One day when he was out on his palace roof, surveying all of his great kingdom, his heart was lifted up in pride, and he began to say, look what all I've done, I. And here's what the book said. After he showed him a giant tree that was to be cut down, let me read it for you, verse 14, chapter 4. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, and shake off his leaves. Neighbor, I want you to know God knows how to shake the leaves off of those today, neighbor, that get elevated in pride and get their eyes off of God. I want you to know God knows how to shake the leaves off, even of a nation. He's shaking the leaves off of a lot of strong people and strong nations. He said, cut off his branches and shake off his leaves and scatter the fruit and let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. I want to hasten on to the last. I believe that there are some leaves that are waving in the wind today, neighbor. It feels good to look at those leaves because they're leaves of divine prophecy. You can read it in your Bibles, Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. It doesn't take a master in botany. It doesn't take a man schooled in horticulture. It doesn't take the old trouble to say, when you walk by an old tree that's been there for months, through the cold, blistering days of the winter, you keep passing by that tree and one day you stop and you look. There's some little birds begin to come out. You come by another day or two and you see some little leaves. Glory to God. He said, learn a parable. Learn something from a tree, neighbor. He said, when it begins to put forth its buds, when it is yet tender and starts to put forth its leaves, you just automatically know that the winter is over and the summer, hallelujah, is just about to dawn. Neighbor, I believe there are some leaves that are waving in the winds of divine prophecy. Hallelujah. When we see those leaves that are beginning to shoot out, we know that summer is nigh. Hallelujah. Church, I believe we can see those leaves waving in the winds today. It tells us that the winter's over. Hallelujah. It tells us that the battle's all just about over. The victory's been won. Those leaves are shouting out, behold, he cometh. Hallelujah. It's drawing nigh. It's even in the day. Hallelujah. I think we ought to look at these leaves. These leaves of divine prophecy. They're waving all about us in this hour. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you more. I'll tell you later. I feel God healing this morning. Brother, I believe as we look into this book, we see new buds. We see new leaves. They're shouting out to us, summer's here. Winter's over. Battle's over. Hallelujah. I believe we can see them on every hand. That fig tree putting forth its leaves. Prophetic. Summer's nigh. Neighbor, though there's ever been a day when the leaves of that fig tree are waving to this generation. Hallelujah. Even so, come home. I'd like for these things to come back. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Hallelujah. Know that there's enough power in just the leaves. We shall let you to the truth. And the Lord come, will I give to eat of the fruit of the true life, which is in the midst of the garden. All of the nations of the earth are going to be healed just because of the leaves of that tree.
Right now, Heavenly Father, you see these feelings with all of them.
These lives today, oh God, that are standing in need, have a touch of the Master's hand. Heavenly Father, I believe you right now, the minister. God, in a very special way to these lives, you're the only answer, God,
to the dilemma of this hour. I believe you for a miracle of God right now. God, I believe you. In the name of Jesus, I believe you administer to them. Meet every need, God, of the heart. And it is